Well, thank you very much for having me tonight. I'm very excited to be here tonight and to share with you the things that I've learned in God's Word. And I trust you'll find this exciting as we look into God's Word. Please turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to go back in time tonight and look at a few of the kings of Judah. I'd appreciate it tonight if you went along with me in your Bible to look up verses. We're going to be looking at quite a few verses. So we'll look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to read about King Jehoshaphat. We'll read verse 1. It came to pass after this also, the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Skip down to verse 15, please. This is the verse 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall ye prosper." When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and the children of Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made the end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches, and with the dead bodies, and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in the gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berek, that is the valley of blessing. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, they called the name the valley of Berek unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was upon all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet for God gave him rest round about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 30 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 5 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in the way of Asa, his father, and departed not from doing it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanai, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. So I'll read for that story, and we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for your word tonight. Pray from help from on high, help from God the Father through the Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, Lord, and pray that we would learn from your word and be affected and change people. Pray we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we need your strength to obey you, Lord. We need your power on a daily basis. And so, Father, help us to obey the things that we learn tonight by your Spirit and strength. And so we give you thanks for this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. I was really excited about the story of Jehoshaphat, and because of the story of how they praised the Lord and their enemies were defeated. And the devil doesn't stand a chance when we praise God. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And one of the first signs that we're filled with the Spirit, as we read in Ephesians 5, is if we're singing to God. And I've tried this. I've taken a hymn book home, and I've tried to learn songs throughout the past few weeks, and it's been a real help. It's been a real help to have songs in my heart wherever I am. If I'm at work, if there's something, a problem that comes at work, if I have God's song in my heart, I'm just singing God's praises all day, and nothing really bad can affect me, because I'm rejoicing in God. So it's a really fascinating story, and I'd like to read the summary of Jehoshaphat's life in 1 Kings. And one of the things I've learned studying about Kings and going through Kings and Chronicles is that in the book of Kings, it mainly describes the kings of Israel. And as you know, that the Israel... There was a divided kingdom at one time. Israel was the northern kingdom, and Judah was the southern kingdom. And so the book of 1 Kings mainly describes the kings in Israel, and the books of the Chronicles mainly describe the kings of Judah. But we do read a summary of Jehoshaphat's life in 1 Kings chapter 22. If we go to 1 Kings 22, we read a little bit of a summary of Jehoshaphat's life near the end of the book of 1 Kings. In verse 41, we read that, "And Jehoshaphat the son of Asa began to reign in Judah the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel." And we may know lots about King Ahab because we know a lot about maybe the story of Elijah and Elisha, the wicked King Ahab of the north. And so we know a lot about Ahab. And so when we go down to the south, this is what was happening in Judah. Jehoshaphat began to reign. In verse 42, he was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abuzah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in the ways of Asa, his father, and he turned not aside from doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the kings of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might that he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Speaking of what we just read in Chronicles, and it says in verse 46, "And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. There was no king in Edom, a deputy was a king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber." Excuse me. So the Jehoshaphat's life has been really interesting to me, and a couple of times we read that he walked in the ways of Asa, his father. So I wanted to go back a little bit to Jehoshaphat's father, just to learn a little bit about the context of Jehoshaphat's life and his upbringing. So I want to look at a little bit of the, now we'll look at the summary of Asa's life in 1 Kings 15. So we have to go back a little bit to 1 Kings 15. Now we're looking at Jehoshaphat's father Asa. A little bit of a summary of his life, and we read in verse 9 of chapter 15, "In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land, and he removed all the idols that his father had made. And he also removed Maachah, his mother, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in the grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And he brought the things which his father had dedicated and the things which he himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver, gold, and vessels." That's all I want to read about that right now. And just thinking about these summaries of these lives, and I'm thinking about our lives. And one day, there's going to be a summary of our life written. And what is that going to say? What's the summary of my life going to be when I'm gone? If people read about me, maybe God will have a recording of, this is what one of my child did. This is a summary. And what are some of the things that it's going to be recorded about you? What are some of the things that God's going to record about you in your life? Some of the things that you did. And I've been thinking about that, and we go to, as I said, Kings just gives a summary of, a little bit of summary sometimes of the kings of Judah. And so if we want a more detailed description of the kings of Judah, we go to Chronicles. So if we look at King Asa's life, we go to Chronicles chapter 14. I'd like to now go a little bit by verse right now from 2 Chronicles 14. And we'll go through Asa's life, and we'll find applications we can make on how we can honor God more in our lives. And one of the things that kind of baffles me about Asa, we read that his heart was perfect all his days, it says in the book of Kings, but we know that if we read the whole story, Asa had never finished well. And I'm wondering, how can it say in 1 Kings that Asa's heart was perfect all his days and yet have a terrible ending to his life? He had, I don't want to go into that right now, but just so you know, and you can look into it, and we'll hopefully get there eventually. We're not going to get there tonight, but he had a great start. And there's definitely things that he did that we can learn from. So we go to 2 Chronicles 14. We read that Abijah slept with his fathers. That's Asa's father. And they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. And in his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And in quiet and peaceful times, we want to make sure that we're preparing for trials and battles ahead. And as we see that Asa never finished well, and we know that even in, if we go back to Abijah, he didn't finish too well either. And Jehoshaphat, he never finished really that well at the end. He fumbled about at the end, and we don't want to do that. We want to be able to finish well. And I know that we've had lots of messages lately about finishing well, and we could be finishing, like, if my life ended soon, well, this would be my finish. I'd be finishing right now, but say I live to about 80, and then say if I'm looking forward to finishing when I'm older, it's necessary for me to be preparing for that now, during even peaceful, quiet times. And if I'm going to finish well, I have to be doing well at the present time and preparing myself for that. And he got busy. We got busy for God in the quiet years. And that prepared him for future battles. And so we'll go to verse 2, and it says that Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And that's a verse we can all pray. We want to be able to do that which was good and right. Make good choices. Honor God in our choices. But it says in the eyes of the Lord his God. And I want to look at a few verses in Colossians. I mean, if you want your life to change for the Lord, and I mean, we'd have to just apply this, a few verses that says in here, Colossians 3, verse 23, 22 to 24, Colossians 3:22 says, servants, obey in all things your earthly masters according to the flesh, or your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. And so I know I can take this, we're all servants, if we're believers, and I'm a servant at my work, I'm an employee, and I take this, that in my service, in my work, I ought to be working, not for my supervisor, but I'm to be working as unto the Lord, and as if God is watching me all the time. And I know you know what I'm talking about. You know, how often are we... I mean, I can catch myself even today. I'm at work, and I'm just doing things just so that other people can see me, that I'm doing good things. And then if they turn away, then I'm going back to doing something else. But to do things as if I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. You know, I'm not going to have any problem with any of my supervisor or employers if I'm always serving, doing everything as unto the Lord, as if the Lord is watching me. And if we were to just to do that a little bit day by day, like acknowledge it in the morning and be like, today I'm going to work unto you, Lord, not unto man. this is going to be a day for you. And if I just applied that to my life, happy are ye if you do them. The secret of true happiness, obeying God in all things. And this is one of the things that we can obey God with, is if we're doing that which is good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. God knows, God is with us, and he knows what we do. Verse 3 in 2 Chronicles 14, we'll move on here, and it says, "For he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places and broke down the images to cut down the groves." And he removed idols. You know, when we'll keep reading about, as we keep reading about Asa and continue reading about him and other kings, they're always removing idols, aren't they? Every time you're always saying removing idols, that isn't, even if they cleaned all the land of the idols, and then future idols are popping up. And that's one of the things that we have to keep doing too, is keep removing idols. And once we remove an idol, things that hinder us in our relationship with God, things that take God's place in our lives, if we remove them, you know, something else will pop up. And then, so we have to keep removing these things. And that's a lesson that I've learned this week. And even if past generations have removed idols, it's still my responsibility in my generation to remove it. And verse 4, he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of his fathers and to do the law and the commandment. He had a passion for revival among God's people. And I'm glad the Lord is bringing back to mind some stories and verses in Isaiah. Maybe we'll just read this one to you, Isaiah 1, verse 16. It says, "Wash ye, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, and cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow." And that's what Asa was doing here. It says he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Stop, he's saying, stop doing wrong and do which is right, as Isaiah would say. And as a personal story that I can share, and you know, it's possible to be a Christian and live a sinful life. I did it for, I guess, years. Like, more, I know that you can be a carnal Christian. I know that we all sin, but I don't want to get into that. I want to get into, it's possible to be a Christian and yet live an utterly sinful life, just as if you weren't saved. It's different. But I remember, just as a story, I remember I was doing some things that I was doing before I was saved, but I was saved when I was about 20, and I still continue to do some of the things that I did before, but it was completely different. I did have the Spirit of God, and you know, I never enjoyed sinning like I did before. And God's Spirit was convicting. But this is a story of, there was a shepherd, like a pastor type guy, that encouraged me to go to a boys' fly fishing camp. And while I was at the camp, where they were studying 1 Peter in like the men's devotion, In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries." So it basically is saying that you've done enough sinning in your past. You've had your fill. And I, at that point, I was thinking, yes, you know what? I did have my fill. I've sinned enough for my whole life before I was saved. And now that I'm saved and I'm still living, you know, I had to learn how to, I had to learn to cease to do evil. You know, as soon as you're saved, you're not all of a sudden holy and you're living a perfect life. Some of these things take time to pull away the evil that you're doing. And so God's continually working in us. And that's what Asa was seeking to do, is to stop doing evil and learn to do good in verse 4. So in verse 5, we also read that it says, also he took away out of the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he, verse 6, and he built fences in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Verse 7, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet quiet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. So as I said, he got busy for God during quiet times. He prepared for future trials, and they were going to come. You remember the Apostle Peter conversing with the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus said, behold, Satan would like to sift you like wheat. And the devil will attack us. Satan will have sifted you. Jesus said, I prayed for you, that your faith will not fail. And we see that also he praised and thanked God for times of blessing here. He recognized that the peace and the goodness of God, goodness that he had, and the blessings he enjoyed were from the Lord in these verses. And that's a lesson we can take. Often people in difficulty ask, where is God in a time of storm? Where is he? God, you never help me now. During times of peace, did you thank God? And so, thanking God, and we know from Romans chapter 2, verse 4, that it's God's goodness that should lead us to repentance. In verse 4 it says, do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So as we see people in the world and they're enjoying life, and, you know, God has given the sun to shine on them, hopefully that's going to draw them to our lovely Lord and Creator. So Asa was preparing for trials, and behold, yes, trials did come. And verse 9, it says, there came up against them Zerah the Ethiopian with the host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots. They came unto Mereshath. 1,000,000, is that a million? Say it's a million people and 300 chariots. I'm not sure why it mentions, say, 1,000,000 people and then 300 chariots. That seems like such a small number. Why just the 300? But maybe the Lord added it in because of a few verses in Psalms. And Asa was the great grandchild of King David. And perhaps some of King David's Psalms were still being sung. And Asa's like, that's not far, I don't think that's a stretch to believe that the Psalms that King David sang and that we have recorded here, they were still around. When we sing songs that from the people that could be our great-great-grandparents, and that's not a stretch to think that those songs were around, and keep that in mind. Verse 11. No, sorry, we're at verse 10. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zarephath and Mareshah. So he went out to battle, and that's a lesson that we can learn too, is that we can't always be on the defensive. We remember where there's to be on the defensive is to never win. If we're always just on the defensive, we're never on the offensive. And the best we can hope for, if we're always just on the defensive, is a tie. And remember in Ephesians chapter 6, God is equipping us with the sword of the Spirit, which is an offensive weapon. So we can't just let people attack or battles come our way without facing a trial head on. So we learn here that Asa went out against him. And maybe the odds were against him, but the Lord was on his side. And in verse 11, we'll continue on here. Verse 11, this is what happened. Asa goes out against him, and it says, Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether by many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. In thy name we go out against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against us. What a verse. What a verse. So he cries unto the Lord. We see praise here. He cried unto the Lord his God. It is nothing with thee to help. Cries out, he ascribes praise to God, that God is all powerful, that God is sovereign. He is nothing with thee to help. God is powerful. Whether with many or with them that have no power, help us. So there's confession here that they are weak. And as we cry out to the Lord in times of difficulty, we want to ascribe to God power, that he is there for us, and also confess our weakness to them that have no power. There is dependence right here, for we rest on thee. We rest on thee. And in thy name go out against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. There's testimony. You are our God. And there's request. Let not man prevail against me. That's a little outline of a prayer that we could have as we face difficulty and trial. And where did Asa get this? I would suggest that maybe he was singing. He used to sing his great-grandpa's songs. And in Psalm 20, for example, Psalm 20, verse 6, sounds like he knew this well. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Remember, why were the chariots mentioned? Maybe for this verse here. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Verse 9, save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. And we can go to Psalm 121, verse 2. My help, I lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So perhaps Asa has a song in his heart. During the times of quiet years, he learned songs. He learned how to sing praises to God and learned how to sing songs that were like Psalm 20 and Psalm 121, and comes into battle and he knows what to do. He knows what to do and cries out to the Lord that hears, the Lord that helps. Verse 12, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Egyptians fled. And I just love that when we cry out to God, when he cries out to God here, It's like it was nothing for the Lord. It comes against this great multitude. In verse 8, we see that they had maybe 500,000 people, mighty, mighty men. And there's thousands of thousands coming up against them, so the odds aren't in their favor. They cry out to the Lord. It's nothing with the Lord, are the conflicts that we face. I just love that. Verse 12, so the Lord smote them. And there's a verse in the song there that, oh, what peace we often forfeit. You know, take it to the Lord in prayer. Was that what a friend we have in Jesus? You know, if we would just take things to the Lord would be mighty, mighty toward us. And I know that we're not going to finish, but there is a verse that I definitely want to get to. And it's near the end of Asa's life. It's 2 Chronicles. Oh, 16. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. This is near the end of his life, and Asa does a foolish thing. After this great victory against the Ethiopians later on in his life, and some of the things you read and you think that happens right away, but this might have happened years later. But anyway, and as you get later on in his life, there was another trial and he fails and he ends up not trusting in God, but trusting in man. In chapter 16, you can read for it. But in the failing of King Asa, we do learn some great things. And in verse 9, it says in verse 8, say, were not the Ethiopians and Ethiopians and Lubans a huge host with many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them from your hand. Because we read that story, and the Lord delivered Judah from the Ethiopians' hand because they cried on the Lord. And it says, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And looking up that word perfect, I've come to, you could say, I've come to understand that it could say whose heart is fully committed to him. Or you could say whose heart seeks earnestly. If you seek God, you will be found by him. And he will show himself strong if you rely on him. And indeed, the Lord did show himself strong. In verse 13, we'll go back to chapter 14. Verse 13 says, Asa and the people that were with him pursued them to Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown so that they could not recover themselves. For they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, and the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. And they smote them in the tents of cattle and carried away the sheep and the camels in abundance. And they returned to Jerusalem. And there's lots of things that the God has promised to the Christians that overcome adversity, trials and temptations. We can only read, we could go to Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And look at all the rewards. To him that overcomes, to him that overcomes, I will give you all those things. I don't want to go there right now, but the Lord will reward. You'll receive your reward from the Lord. We'll move on to 15 there. It says, after this victory, it says this, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all ye Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. If you seek him, He will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law. But when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, and God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for the work, your work shall be rewarded. So, after this victory, it's encouraging to me that the Spirit of God comes and encourages. And the battle, just because he won a victory and he overcame, doesn't mean the battle's over. And so he was encouraged by this prophet that came. And he was encouraging to keep on keeping on. And it's not over. Don't get too high on yourself. And if any man, remember that verse, if any man thinks he stands, take heed. So it's nice that God says, take heed to King Asa and continue to seek him. Great verse in Deuteronomy 4. Verse 29. But if from thence you shall seek the Lord thy God, ye shall find him, if you seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. If you seek God, you will find him. But seek him with all your heart. Okay, and verses, the other part of that prophecy, and it says, talks about the God afflicting people, God allowing affliction, verses 3 to 6, and why God allows that, and it's for our own good. Sometimes God allows attacks, discouragement, sickness. We wonder why sometimes. But may we seek, it's so that we would reach out for God. So that we would, God would be able to show himself strong on our behalf. And I definitely don't want to make light of the situation with the trial that Dave and Dixie are going through right now. And if you're listening to this, Dave and Dixie, we love you and we're praying for you. And I can guarantee to you that they've gone closer to the Lord. I mean, I don't wish it upon anybody, but praise God that through this, they're reaching out to God and they're finding help and strength during time this difficult time. I want to wrap things up here. We'll get into the Jehoshaphat's life in a future date, but I want to read verse 15 as well. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they made a commitment to God. You know, that's what they did. And the verses, some of those verses that we missed, is they committed to God. Once again, they renewed, and that's what we do Sunday mornings. I feel like we continue to just commit ourselves again to the Lord, and afresh. And so that's what they did. And it says all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them. So God was found of them, it says, for the Lord had given them rest round about. And so we see that this chapter sums it up. When you seek God, you'll be found of him. And once again, read again. Chapter 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Let's give thanks. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for this time tonight, and we pray that we would know and understand what that means to have our hearts perfect towards you, and we pray that we would indeed be, just take a moment to say, Lord, make our heart perfect towards you. and may we be fully committed to you. May we seek you. We thank you for your encouragement tonight that you want to show yourself strong to us when we trust and rely on you. Just help us as we go through this life to always honor you and to work as unto you and not unto man. And so we give you thanks for this time. We pray for your blessing upon all the saints here, Lord. And there's some here that don't know you, Lord. We pray that they indeed would be drawn to you by your goodness to them. You are good, Lord. While we were ungodly, Christ died for us. So we give you thanks for this time and pray for your blessing and your presence with us. In the name of Lord Jesus, amen.